You're tuned in to the This Woman Knows podcast network, holding space for women evolving into their best selves. And now, here's your host, Denine L. Garrett.
Thank you for joining Women of Color, an intimate conversation. This show is for women who have had enough and want change. I'm your host, Denine L. Garrett, and I'm committed to elevating the voices of women of color and empowering them to live a dream lifestyle now. So sit back or keep it moving and check out today's episode.
I'm an aunt. My niece is Madison. She's 13 years old, terribly spoiled, but I love being her aunt. I don't have children. I'm not married. So it's fun to check her out of school earlier and go get Starbucks and things like that. That's fun stuff for me. And for her too, we've got a really, really cool bond. And I would also say, someone that's interested in pushing the needle, you know, I'm always interested in a new adventure and how I can stretch myself. So let's say always learning. I'll say those three.
Okay. I love that. And so do you also have a sister?
I have a twin sister. Yes. Danielle.
Okay. All right. So that's what I was going to say. So you and I, we were connected or we're connected on Instagram. So that's how we know each other. Okay. And seeing a picture of you and someone else and you all were traveling somewhere and I'm like, oh my God, they look just alike. So
that's Danielle. Hello, that's, yes. That's her. That's Danielle.
Awesome. Okay. Oh my God. My sister's name is Danielle as well.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, this was meant to be.
Yeah, that's very special. Okay. So you are considered a Jill of all trades. Mm-hmm. Extensive background in education, having traveled just as extensively to teach and learn, Oxford and Harvard, just to name a couple places. What was your experience as professor in residence in Shanghai, China, at the George English School in 2015 like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I was at a place in my life, Denine, where I loved what I was doing. I was a full-time professor. Teaching communications and first impressions and public speaking. And I enjoyed it all, but I got to a point where it was just routine and I was regressing and not progressing. And mm-hmm. I needed a drastic change. I just lost my mojo. And my colleague was like, well, you know, I'm going to China. You should go to China. And I'm like, China, 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 like Asia, China, 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 China. She said, yeah, doc. I mean, I'm going to take a year off. And Nichelle was known for traveling a lot, going abroad. And I was always curious about that, you know, but never delved too much into it. But I was just telling her, I said, I need something different. I need something drastic. I need to find my mojo. And mm-hmm. she said, dog, you should go to China. And I said, no, I'm not. I don't mean that drastic. I mean, 2 weeks off or something, you know. but she just kept saying, dog, I know Frank's son. He owns several schools. He's opening a new education center in China. He needs a new professor. You could be the professor in residence. This is you. Mm. And so the more she said it, I said, you know what? Hey, I said, let's call him. So at that point, now this was 2014. So this was the days of Skype. So she came to my house and we did a Skype together. She did a warm intro. We talked and then I guess maybe a good 40 minutes later, he said, so when are you coming to China? And I said, oh, this was just a look-see. This was not a, you know, in stone. But, right. But he said, can I send you a contract? Can I send you a package? Can I do that and see if that will entice you to come to China? And I'm like, well, sure. Okay, sure. Why not? And he sent me a package. And I said, oh, you're serious. Oh, you're serious. So I said, you know what? Wait a minute. Let me think this thing, you know, let me think about this. So it's a great package. And they included airfare, first class flight to China, a 1 year residency, a nice apartment. And he made it hard to say no.
Yeah.
So I got with my realtor and I put my house up for sale. My house sold very quickly. I had to go to Atlanta and stay 2 weeks. And get approval from the Chinese consulate in Atlanta. And of course, they approved me. And because you can't, I learned you cannot just go to China. You have to have a work visa or a medical visa or a family visa. But you cannot just go to China. You have a reason. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that, you know. So I had to get permission from the consulate to stay a year. And I sold my house and I got with my cousin in Atlanta. She took me everywhere. And by that December, I was in China.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you wanted to push the needle and stretch. So I would say that's pushing the needle and stretching for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And since I've done that, I've just been open to doing even more things. So that was the spark I needed, Deneen, to get my spark back, to love teaching again, and to just kind of, you know, like, hey, okay, there's more I can do here. So that was probably the best thing I ever did as an adult, was to go to China and immerse myself in this community of people who I did not know, didn't look like me, didn't talk like me. And it was just I had a great, beautiful, wonderful time. Wonderful.
And you know what? And so what comes to mind for me is just you had a different take on Stella getting her groove back.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, you hear the rumors, you know, Asians don't like Black people. And that was not my experience. They treated me like 24 karat gold. I was not in... Now, I was in a town called Liushi, which is about 4 hours outside of Shanghai. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I want to be where the real deal people are. You know, I don't want to be in Shanghai because that's like New York. And I don't want to be in Beijing because that's like L.A. I want to be in the real deal.
Right.
So my town was a beautiful town, and we didn't have Walmart, didn't have a Starbucks. I'm like, okay, you know, this is it, you know. And my apartment was literally 5 minutes from the school. I could go out the door, make two turns, and I was at the school. So it was great. And the more the folks in the city saw me, the more they got used to it. I got stared at all the time, wanting to touch my skin. And it was great for me to help them. It was great for them to help me. So,
Absolutely. And so you also travel as a media professional, going to events such as the Rio Summer Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rio, Wimbledon, and Disney Dreamers. And by the way, my son is class of 2018 of DDA.
All right. There we go. Come on now.
Yes. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, I don't know if the experience was better for him or me, but I had a good time. They treated the parents well. I thought, you know, I was just going to go and hang out at the pool or whatever. No, they had an experience for us as well.
Yeah, they have plans for the parents. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, I love DDA. So wonderful. Yeah.
Yes. So tell us what led you to both. So to education as well as to the media. And you already said that teaching is your first love. So I'm going to take that as your greatest passion. And if not, you know, which of the two would be your greatest passion?
Oh, absolutely. Education is. And I was going to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer. I watched Miami Vice and Crockett and Tubbs. And I said, oh, I'm going to be a lawyer. But my senior year in high school, my economics teacher asked a few of the students who are really good at math to tutor third graders. And she said, Deneen, I would love for you and Danielle to tutor third graders. And I said, oh, little people, you know, but she said, but that means, you know, half a day on Friday and Thursday, you won't be here. You'll be over there. I said, oh, that's a win. So I went to this school. I went to this classroom that I was assigned to. And there were all these little small little chairs and these small little people. And I sat down with like 4 or 5 kids and talked about how money works and how you have money. They have allowances and things like that. And a little girl, I'll never forget her, Erin Gray, she said, will you come back tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And I said, that's it. I'm going to be a teacher. And my dad was a principal. My mom was a math teacher. So I grew up with educators, you know. But I did not want to be a teacher initially. I was going to be a lawyer. But that little girl, and then helping those students. And I volunteered the rest of the semester and went to Alabama A&M, majored in education, early childhood, and loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And it was not until I was a full-time professor in Orlando how NBC fell in my lap. I went to Full Sail University where I taught first impressions, communication, and all those things in the communication department. I was a course director. And it was very normal for NBC and Rolling Stone and MTV at that time to come to our school because our school was about recording arts and computer animation and digital design and show production and all those things. So any area of entertainment, that's what the school is about. And I had all the recording arts students. So one day NBC came to my classroom and I said, oh, I've got four students who you'll love. And they said, well, can we sit in lecture? And then after lecture, we'll get your kids. So fine. So I taught my class like I normally do. And I'm very animated. I love being a teacher and I use, all the tricks in my bag to get my 80 kids to pay attention. And so when the class was over, the three producers came by and I said, here are my students. And they said, well, actually, you know what? If they can wait outside for a minute, can we talk to you first? And I said, oh, okay, sure. So I told my kids, go ahead and go outside. I'll say a good word for you. And the producer, he said, well, we don't really want them now. We want you. And I said, you want me for what? And they said, well, we're doing a new talk show. We need a new host. We do some things online for YouTube and you'd be great for it. So would you consider working for NBC? I'm like, what? I said, and I just paused like me. No, I'm a teacher. I know my schedule and I have my classes and that's not me. Mm-hmm. And so the producer said, we think you'd be great. You're really, really funny. You're naturally funny and you're really lively and you know how to talk to an audience. You know how to grab a lot of people with very simple things. You should be on the red carpet. I'm like, no, my kids are here. You want my students, So long story short, the producer, I'm not gonna say he harassed me, but he definitely stayed in contact with my dean and said, we want her. Can you please talk to her? And my dean said, hey, this is something cool. You might want to try it. I'm like, I don't know. But so long story short, I flew to Atlanta to meet with two of the producers. And they said, you're really, really funny and great, but you just talk really fast. Once we slow you down, we can get you on the carpet. And I'm just thinking, okay, whatever you guys say. I got a full-time job. This is just interesting. You're paying me to be here. Okay, fine, whatever. Because this was all completely new world to me, And so the more I got into the studio, the more I really enjoyed it. I would fly down once a month and go to the studio. And this was around, 2002. And I said, okay, so I was flying once a month, still teaching my classes, And then they said, okay, so our first event will be the Kentucky Derby. And we're going to be there to interview Bobby Flay and Oprah. And I'm like, oh, who's, I know you don't mean me to do that. I know you don't mean that. And they said, no, we're going to be interviewing, Gabrielle Union and Paul Wall and Earth, Wind & Fire and Tina Marie and Smokey Robinson. And I'm just like, what? I'm being punked here. But Deneen, I had an appointment at Macy's. I had this gorgeous green dress. We flew to Louisville, Kentucky, and I interviewed Earth, Wind & Fire. And I interviewed Gabrielle Union. And I said, you pay people to do this?
Right.
So it was crazy. It was absolutely insane. So I stayed at my job another 7 months, and this was starting to support my income and supplement my income. And so I said, wait a minute. So I kept doing that part-time. And then I left my job fully as a teacher in 2009 to do NBC full-time.
Okay.
So it was the best. And I was called a field reporter. So I was not full-time. I worked gig to gig. Mm-hmm. So that was even cooler. I'm like, okay, I like this, So it was just, and so here we are years later. And here we are.
That's awesome.
It fell in my lap and it was just opportunity. Why not? And best thing I ever did. So cool.
And you know what? And what it is too is, you were operating in your excellence, right? So you were, passionately pursuing your purpose and right. your passion. And then here, this other thing came along for you, which is so cool, right?
Yes, it is. If you had told me, 10 years ago that I'd be doing this and going to the Kentucky Derby and going to the Oscars and Sundance Film Festival in Utah and New York Fashion Week in Paris next summer for the Olympics. And you had told me that. I'm like, what?
Right.
Not that I couldn't, but I don't have a degree in radio production. I don't have a degree in journalism. I met people on the red carpet. They have degrees in journalism, creative writing and blocking and film. And they're like, where'd you go? And I said, oh, I have a degree in education.
And the other thing too is because they saw you operating in your excellence, right? So they saw that, and they wanted you for the thing. And that's what I say to people, like, do what you do. People are watching.
They are.
Absolutely. And you know, another similarity is I had considered going into law as well when I was in high school. So
wow. well is deep, Deneen. Well is deep with us. The well is deep.
Oh, so look, Deneen.
Yeah.
Sister. we thought about
when is your birthday?
May 27th.
July 22nd. Okay. the 20s. There we go.
There's another one. Right. I know. So
my goodness.
Is about empowering women of color and elevating their voices. Thinking about your journey, your experiences. What three actions can women of color take to tap into their power and voice?
Number one, rest. Mm. Get some rest. It's only 24 hours in a day, and you cannot get it all done in one day. So number one is rest. I now understand why my parents made us all take naps as kids. And now I love a good nap. So number one, I would say, make sure you get some rest. Yeah. Number two, I would say, don't get comfortable. That was me. I was comfortable until I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, but don't get complacent in what you're doing. You know, I mean, I just, because when you get comfortable, you get complacent and it becomes routine. And I'm not saying everyone will do this, but I was just kind of, I lost my spark. I lost it. I lost my mojo.
Yeah.
So one, get some rest. Two, don't get comfortable. And three, be okay with change. I moved to China. Now I wouldn't dare tell everybody, just drop everything, move to China.
Right.
But that's what I did. I needed new people. I needed new scenery. I needed a drastic change to get me back to Deneen. And be okay with trying new stuff. Be okay with trying different things, you know, and just see what happens. You know, it's kind of like if you throw enough stuff against the wall, something's got to stick. So that's what I would say. I would say get plenty of rest. Don't get comfortable and be okay with trying new things.
Yeah, I like that you put rest as the first one.
Rest. Yes, ma'am.
Something that we as Black women, as women, we don't prioritize.
We don't.
And just now, I would say within maybe the last 3 years, have we start considering it?
Mm-hmm.
Considering rest, considering self-care, self-love, all of those things, like it's now kind of a big thing for us.
Absolutely.
To focus on that. So I love that you put rest first. And
yes.
I'm thinking, it's like, well, we haven't done anything yet to rest, but yeah, we have. We've lived our lives and we've done this and we've done that. We've gone through school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
just the day-to-day. Go to bed early. Go to bed at 7:30. Turn the lights off and go to bed. Take a nice long shower and take a bath and just sit there and play some music and have some nice wine and some grapes and chill.
Absolutely.
You know, this nothing expensive, stuff that's in your house. Mm-hmm. You know, that you already have, you know. Yeah.
And this rest is kind of taking us to this next question. Mm-hmm. Or thing to talk about. So often Black women and other women of color do a lot or even too much. That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't always prioritize self and self-care. I just recently took a pause in the way of a 2-month social media break. Talk to us about the importance of taking time for ourselves and the power in the pause. So you've already talked about the importance of rest. Talk to us a little bit more about that and pausing.
I think what helps too is making sure that you're around the right people. If you want to have power in the pause, you have to really make sure that you've got folks around you that really, really care about you. That makes a big difference too. We get stressed out about, you know, this coworker, that coworker, my husband, my wife, this or that. And those things can really be triggering. So, something I've done is really, really check my circle. You know, I have some folks who I cut off and folks cut me off.
Yeah.
You know, and that has been a great way to pause. Like, whoa, I thought we were cool. Oh, we're not cool anymore. Okay. I don't know what happened, but okay. So you know, as we get older and as we get more seasoned in life, everyone just can't go with you to every level. When I came back from China, some folks I thought were really my friends were not. They were jealous. They were upset. They were, you know, well, you doing, you trying to do your thing. Mm-hmm. You damn right I'm trying to do my thing. You doggone right, you know. So, and I'm like, wow, I thought, okay, you know, so I think finding out that you've got some folks around you who really care, not 100, three or four, but a good two or three, maybe four people around you that honestly and truly are concerned about your overall well-being, your mental health, even if the job that you have is a job that is supporting you or giving you some kind of support. So I would say making sure your friend circle is what it needs to be.
Yeah, that's important. Especially, you know what, that's definitely important for me now, right at the time of life that I'm in, having that circle, having a few people who I can really depend on. And people they play different roles, and that's fine, right? Everybody going to play the same role. And when you recognize that, kind of like you said, you know, people have cut you off just as you've cut others off. It's like, right? And that's just it. We just have to recognize the part that the people play in our lives, or that
they're absolutely
in this particular season.
Absolutely.
So I mentioned my sister, Danielle. So yeah. I honor her. So she actually passed in October of 2020. Author and poet. She wrote a book, Dreams Deferred. And so I asked the question about any dreams deferred moments that you've had.
I wanted this position. Well, I was groomed for this position, a really nice PR VP position.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, it was mine. They said, Doc, this is yours. You know, you come to the interview, that's just a formality. It's yours. Name your price. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. And I went in for the interview, banged up job. I had on my best daughter, Karen. I looked good. I looked it good. Hair done, face Fenty done. This is mine, you know. And 3 weeks later, I didn't hear anything. And then a week later, didn't hear anything. Then 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, then 4 weeks, you know, and I'm like, and I call my friend saying, he thinks, oh no, it's going to be okay. It's yours. We're working out the kinks. I'm like, okay. You know, this was like my dream job in communications and PR. This was it. Nice salary, you know, enough to have left over. And just, you know, if I wanted to go to a plane, go to Hawaii, I'm done. And so I found out that the person who did the hiring hired her niece and used all the notes I gave in the meeting. So I'm like, wow. Because when this person did these ideas and these new, I'm like, that's mine. Whoa. And the person didn't have a background in communications, did not have a background in teaching, you know, completely out of their field, but you know, but it's who you know, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that was the case. So I'm like, you know, and then when I called my friend, he's I can't believe it. Denise, I'm so sorry. Because he's someone who I knew and trusted. And if he said that was my job, that was it, you know. And others said, oh my God, please interview. You're who we need. You're who we need. And then I find out a month and a half later, you hired your niece?
Wow.
She's nowhere near qualified? Okay. And so I called my dad, and my dad's like, you know, here's the thing. God works in mysterious ways. That was not for you. Maybe there was a need there that you didn't realize for somebody else. And you keep doing what you're doing and just keep adding pressure. So I said, okay. So that really was a punch to the gut because I went in with 10 ideas, Denine, of ways we could implement and change the PR and just update that organization to be social media, just everything. Mm-hmm. And out of my 10 ideas, they used 7.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know what? So that right there is the reason why people say, don't give too much.
And you know, and guess what? Look, you go on today. You go learn today.
Right.
So here I am saying, I'm going to share all my tricks because you guys need me. I can do this. I can do that. I've done this. Da, 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 da. And at the end of the whole time, I set myself up. Mm-hmm. I can't blame them. I set myself up. So lesson learned that don't give all your pearls away.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, save, show a half a pearl and the other 20 you hold.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, a little glimpse of what you can do and or actually by way of what you have done.
Yeah.
So for those that are listening, you know, share your knowledge, your expertise, but maybe focus on what you've done elsewhere as opposed to specifically, okay, this is what we can do here.
Exactly. It
is definitely a delicate balance, right? So I do like what Dad said as far as, you know, maybe it was a need for somebody else, that person needed it.
Exactly.
Like that, because my mind went straight to, you know, they didn't deserve you.
And that was my twin. My twin said, they didn't deserve you.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, you didn't, this, hey, girl, you know, so I love her because we're each other's cheerleaders, you know? And, but yeah, that taught me a lot. And I learned that day also that, God works in mysterious ways and, you know, we don't know what his plans are and we have to be okay with adapting mm-hmm. to a dream that we wanted, that we thought would be the best thing. And then when the person implemented those things, they didn't do them anywhere near what the vision should have been. So it's like, you know, you take someone's gift and it's not going to work out for you. It's not your gift.
Mm-hmm.
You're borrowing someone's work and it never comes out the way, mm-hmm. you know, if you had done it. So.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. So, okay. Hey, you know, I and you know what, you can go into the next interview and do the same exact thing, give 20 ideas mm-hmm. and it's still executed to the way that you would have executed it. So
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So I empower women of color to live a dream lifestyle. What is a dream lifestyle to you and how do you live a dream life?
Traveling is my jam. I love traveling. I grew up traveling. My parents always, you know, we were always that black family that was all the white people, you know? And I love now that I see so many black people doing all this. I just love it. I love it for us.
Yes.
But traveling, getting on a plane, 35,000 feet. Oh yeah, that is my jam. And my twin sister, when she graduated from Alabama A&M, received an offer from Disney to be an animator. Her minor was commercial art, and her major was journalism. But she couldn't find a job in journalism, so before she graduated, Disney came to our school and said, we need some artists. And so they nominated my twin. She went and she got hired. And that's when they were starting Euro Disney, you know. And this was 1994, 94, 95, 96 in that area. And Danielle went to Paris, France, lived 4 years, speaks fluent French to this day. And when she went to Paris, I went to Paris, you know, that right. Christmas, I taught fifth grade, but we had 2 weeks off. So I said, then I'll come during my Christmas vacation. So I went to Paris and then we went to London. We went to Brussels. So those two, I said, oh, we're doing more of this. So while she was over there for 4 years, she went all over Europe. Mm-hmm. And so on my breaks, I would go and travel with her. So ever since I was 21, I really traveled. And then early this year, I had my TED Talk in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
And Danielle and I said, you know what? When we turn 50, we want to go home. We want to go see mother, the motherland. And it just so happens that TED Talk was able to facilitate that. They found me through my TED Talk, through my podcast. So we spent 12 days in Cape Town and Johannesburg and all the other places. And it was just an absolute dream. So my dream lifestyle is to identify the places I want to see and go see them and travel and learn. And this has been here. This ruin has been here how long? And things. So that I would say travel, just traveling, seeing the world, going to, and even if it's Biloxi, Mississippi and going to the beach, the Gulf, if it's, you know, going to North Carolina and Asheville and seeing Biltmore if it's, you know, Walt Disney World and getting on a roller coaster, if it's, you know, all answers are great. All answers. And now that I have my niece, when I get my assignments, I take her. Mm-hmm. So spring break last year, we went to San Francisco for a whole week. And then when school was out, we went to Las Vegas and the Grand Canyon, the Hoover Dam. So she has just been benefited from these cool perks I have, Janine, and I take her everywhere. So I was poured into, so now I pour into my niece.
I love that. And so again, here's another connection. Travel is my number one. That's my number one as far as my dream life. And just like you said, it's not always about going to, you know, another country.
Right.
It's about the simple things. Like for me, it's going to New York to see the Basquiat exhibit that they had last year.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
You know, on a yacht thing, you know, the black yacht scene. You know what I'm saying? And it's also, you know, because I just came back from Panama. Way. So yeah, all the things with travel.
Mm-hmm. I just love it. I just, you know, we just came back from Montgomery, Selma, and Troy, and seeing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. My twin, my sister, my brother, we walked that bridge. We took Maddie to Memphis, Tennessee, to the Lorraine Hotel where Dr. King was assassinated. You know, and she saw the video of the black boys with the milkshakes, and only they wanted a milkshake, and they couldn't because they were black. You know, so she is seeing that. I said, Madison, it wasn't always like this. It was not always like this. You know, I didn't grow up with this, but it's important that you see it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was 3 hours away with the Montgomery. And saw the Rosa Parks statue and all about Rosa Parks and what she went through, where they dragged her off the bus, you know. So we got in the car within 3 hours.
Yeah.
So whether it's 3 hours or 35,000 feet, go see this world.
Right. Get out there and experience it. So I'm going to ask, because I remember you had posted about something on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, well, we definitely have to talk about that. And then I don't know if it was last year, the year before, whenever it was. It had to be within the last year or two. But Issa, did you ever catch up with Issa to interview Issa Rae?
Issa Rae, no. You know what? It was ABF at the American Black Film Festival in Miami. I go every year. And I hugged her, but I was not able to get her. None of us got her. I mean, I think only two people were able to get her. And it was a stream of press. And but I have a picture with her in the background.
Okay.
So, you know. That counts, you know.
That counts.
Yeah, I was not able to get, but we got so many others, you know. But yeah, Issa was the host that year, but very, very few people got Issa Rae. Very few.
Okay. Well, at least you got a hug. So I went to Black Enterprise Women of Power in March, and so I
was nice
in Vegas to I was on a panel for a podcast festival, and when I saw that Issa was going to be there at Black Enterprise, I was like, oh my god, I have to get there. I have to be at that. And so I was gifted a registration to go. So Issa, she came, she did the lunch. She was on stage. I forget who interviewed her, but the person interviewed her, right? So we went backstage afterwards, you know, thinking we're going to chat with her or whatever. And they were like, yeah, no.
You didn't get her either.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, you know what? She's going to exit on the opposite side. So So me and my partner in crime,
uh-huh,
we went over there. And so as we're walking, now we both probably have our phones in our hands. Here right. comes, right? And we just know we're about to get pictures, but her PR and her publicist and then someone else, they were all locked in arms. And they were like, stop, you know, we have a plane to catch.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, so close, yet still far away.
Yep.
No.
Yep. And I love her personality. She's so down to earth. And you know, she now has a crazy platform. She was in Barbie. She was the president in the Barbie movie. So, you know, she is doing her thing. And you know, good for her. You know, hey. Because no. she dreamed of that life, you know, and she had it. So hey, I can only give plaudits.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. She's definitely a game changer.
Yes.
And she's able to write her own tickets. You know what I'm saying? She's able to say that, okay, if you want me, this is what it takes, right?
Exactly. And she's getting it.
she's an example for other people that you can do, you can do it.
Yes, yes, yes.
That thing that you want to do, you can do it. And it's different ways. Like you can start. I mean, she had three different web series.
Yes, she did.
Where folks learned about her, right?
Like, yes, she did.
I didn't know about the first two.
Yeah.
And then when I found out, I'm like, okay, the one with her brother, then I'm like, oh, it was one before that, Dorm Diaries or something. I'm like, oh my God. So she's been at it.
And she's been doing this. Yeah.
Kept at it. Right. And made it happen and bringing other people along. And so that's what I applaud her for, that she does bring other people along.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
Yes. So before we wrap, what would you like to leave the guests with?
I would love to leave your guest with, I'm a big fan of vision boards. Anything you want to do, put pen to paper, put it on your mirror, and make sure you look at it every day. It is never too late for what you want to do. It's never too late. It is absolutely never too late. So go for it. You know, the things I'm doing are just things that opportunities I took. So, and I guarantee, those folks who listen to our interview and our chat here, someone has said to them, try this, try that. And maybe they were afraid. So I would say going forward, don't be afraid. Just go for it.
Look, push that needle.
Push the needle. And also, shameless plug, buy my books on Amazon and my website.
Yes. And so yes. We have all your information.
Definitely. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So Dr. Denise Y. Mose, I have greatly appreciated this conversation and our similarities.
Yes, me too. This is wonderful. This has been great.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for being a guest on Women of Color, an Intimate Conversation.
Yay.
And enjoy the rest of your week.
All right. Yay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Women of Color, an Intimate Conversation. Let me know your thoughts. Send me an email at deneen@deneenlgarrett.com or tweet about it at @deneenlgarrett. My goal is to impact the lives of millions of women of color. And in order to do so, I need to reach them. And that's where you come in. Please subscribe if you haven't already done so, and share the episodes. And again, let me hear from you. I'm your host, Deneen L. Garrett. I'm also a women's empowerment speaker and a dream lifestyle coach. Check out my website, deneenlgarrett.com. And until next time, have a fabulous week.
This Woman Knows Media is committed to your growth and evolution into the best version of yourself. We provide you with monthly podcasts.
There was no such thing as homophobia the way we know it. And
people will say and do all the things in which they want.
Crazy porn that gets all these views and has won an NAACP Image Award.
Quarterly magazines, great online content, and virtual and in-person events. Continue your personal evolution and subscribe today. Go to www.thiswomanknows.com.